Welcome to BA Brew. I'm Lisa.
I'm Helen.
And I'm Debbie.
And today, obviously, we've got Helen with us just to talk about the kind of human side of business analysis. So, Helen, you've been really active in the BA community recently. And in particular, I really liked one of your articles that you had about, was it the human element, was it? Is that the right one? Yeah, yes. Really interesting article. And I think, if I understood it correctly, I think you're kind of saying that as well as knowing about emerging tech, as well as knowing about your domain as a business analyst, having your toolkit, the human side of things is equally important, really. And I think you mentioned a really nice phrase, was it character education or character crafting? I don't know if you want to just maybe explain a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I mean, I think the article was prompted by a bit of a challenge that was about what did people think was next for business analysts. And when I was sort of thinking about that, and when I was looking at the different articles and pieces that were already sort of online, there was a lot talking about sort of new technologies, in particular, as you can imagine, like AI was one of those. Yeah. What it kind of made me think about was how some of these changes actually impact us as individuals, as humans, because it changes things. It changes the way we have to respond to our work. It may change the way that we have to interact with our stakeholders. And we've seen a few of those kind of examples, I think, over the last 3 or 4 years, starting, I think, with the pandemic and how that changed, you know, the work environment for a lot of people. So for me, what I wanted to sort of draw attention to was the fact that these rapid changes that we're experiencing actually require us to also recognise the changes in the way we address, you know, how we respond to those and how we make ourselves kind of resilient and you know, strengthen ourselves in terms of our kind of our character in order to get the most out of those opportunities and to not kind of be shut off from them, you know, to not kind of shut down and have that kind of fight or flight or freeze response. So it was that idea of, yeah, character crafting. I think we see a lot in education where there's a lot about encouraging children to build their character through kind of doing various different exercises. And what I wanted to explore was how we could apply that to the business analysis community and the business analysis role.
Yeah, it's a really interesting topic. Have you got any thoughts on that, Debbie? Anything spring to mind initially?
I think so. It's really interesting because recently I seem to be having a lot of conversations about the sort of personal attributes, whether it's of a business analyst or a business architect or a service designer. I'm having those conversations and it feels like we've taken the concept of the T-shaped professional. We've worked a lot on developing professional skills. And I think a lot of people in those professions, you know, they continue to develop their professional toolkit. They go on particular courses or they read certain books. And so they're really building that side that allows them to have that analytical approach to whatever they're doing. And then, of course, the other part of the T-shape is the horizontal bar at the top. And the business side of it, I think anybody who's got a job title that says business analyst or business architect sort of knows that there's a need for them and a responsibility incumbent upon them to actually get that business domain knowledge to understand how it all works. So I think that's been sort of going on. And to a certain extent, maybe what happened in lockdown has accelerated the need to really work on the personal side of that horizontal bar, because actually the context has changed now, hasn't it? You know, whether it's hybrid working, whether it's completely remote working, whether you work for an organization where you're back in the office, but different people and organizations within your ecosystem maybe hybrid or remote, you've got to be able to engage differently. And I think that there is quite an impact now on people thinking about, well, okay, how do I work with different types of people? I mean, you know, the world has opened up as well. So we've got all sorts of international factors coming to play. And if we're going to operate in these roles, we've got to work on ourselves. So that's the sort of message that I seem to be getting.
That's a great point. I think, and COVID was obviously such a huge thing, wasn't it, for everybody? It brought some good things and some bad things. But yeah, I think you're right. I think being in lockdown, not being able to literally physically be with people, that's going to impact your social skills, isn't it? It's going to impact your work relationships and things like that. That's fascinating. So Helen, could you recommend any ways for people to perhaps get a bit more proactive in sort of developing their areas or in that character crafting?
I think most people nowadays and most people in management settings, you know, they're used to, when it comes to thinking about, you know, the time of year when you're looking at your personal development and you think, oh, what are the courses I want to go and do? And we're all used to thinking about the tools and the techniques and Debbie, as you were saying, like maybe stuff that will help us in our business domain. So I think the first thing is not to shy away from also thinking that your personal growth is as equally as important as that. So things that are going to help you develop your confidence or develop your leadership skills or your relationship building skills are all, you know, really fundamental to the role that we do as business analysts. They're listed in your behavioral competencies. So it's not as if you can't, you know, make the case for that. So I think the first thing is for people to kind of to value that and to recognize that's actually, it's important. And to factor that into, you know, their considerations when they're thinking about courses that they want to go and do. And obviously on the flip side of that, for people who are signing off on these bits of training is equally to sort of look at how you can invest in the individual. And that will be very different for different people and what they need. So it's not necessarily something you can do en masse all the time. You know, your team members might need something different. But I think focusing on that and allowing people to kind of, you know, to ask for that kind of development, I think is a really good step to start off with. Something that I've certainly tried.
So are you thinking, Helen, that there's also an element of self-awareness around this, of almost evaluating, well, okay, you know, which situations maybe am I uncomfortable in? So do I need to do some work on educating myself and thinking about my values and how I might approach those types of situations? Is that part of it, do you think?
Very much. And there is, so I sort of started off with a strengths inventory. This was, I thought it was a really nifty little thing. And there is, there's something called values in action, and they lay out 24 different character traits. And it's, you can either think of that, I think, individually. I think there are kind of, as there often is, like different online tests and things that you can go and take yourself off to do. But it's a way to kind of think about across that spread of 24 things, which I think they split into sort of six categories. Where do I feel like, no, I've got those nailed? Those are at the kind of core of who I think, you know, what my values are. And where, if I'm honest, do I start to struggle? You know, where do I start to find myself being a bit difficult? I know when I did my inventory, courage and bravery was a big thing, like actually kind of putting myself forward in difficult situations. You know, that tendency to step back was something that I recognized and thought, no, that's something I need to work on, because again, as a business analyst, there are times when I need to have difficult conversations. I might need to deal with areas of conflict. And I have to be prepared to kind of go in and call something out that I see that, you know, isn't necessarily right. So for all those reasons, that becomes something that's important to me, both in my personal life, but, you know, it then reflects professionally as well. So I thought that was a really good starting point to look at those, that set of kind of characteristics, and then be able to kind of apply that in terms of a bit of a sliding scale of where I was really good, where I was comfortable, where I wasn't. And that kind of gave me the focus then of where do I start when I think about a character crafting bit. Can't do it all, but I can start in one particular area.
Yeah. The way you almost use gap analysis there, you know, like you start off with, you know, where you are at the moment, where you want to be. It's making me think of like skills profiling and competency frameworks. Is it a bit like that kind of process? So you sort of think of a list of skills that you want to have and you want to improve upon. Is that the kind of process that you followed?
Yeah, I think it is, and I think it's there's lots of actual bona fide like techniques out of our toolbox that you can use. But I think it's just changing that lens a little bit and looking at, in the same way that we do it outwardly, don't we? We talk about models like Poppit that consider the people element, and it's just making sure that when you think about skills development for yourself, that you remember to look at yourself and that people element. It's like, I think it's the bit that I suppose doesn't come naturally to us sometimes, to sort of sit there and think, you know, it might feel a bit indulgent or like a bit of a vanity approach, I think, to people sometimes, to sort of think, how do I want to invest in making myself a better person? Doesn't necessarily tie in with people's idea of, you know, sort of how they're going to be more successful in their career. So I think it's just, yeah, remembering that to take that same approach that we would use in our business lives, in our, you know, to our personal development.
Yeah, I think as well, when you think about business analysts, we've said for a long time that it's an internal consultancy role. You know, the service offered is a consultancy service. You know, we are going to evaluate situations, we're going to suggest what you might do, we're going to find root causes of problems, we're going to hopefully help you move forward and improve as a business. And so if it's an internal consultancy service that we offer, we have to look at, well, what does that mean? Because if we brought external consultants in, they would bring a degree of confidence, they would bring not just the ability, but, you know, they will have been educated in the need to work with different stakeholders, developing that side of their profession will be part of what they do. So if we're internal consultants, maybe we have to take on board that message and say, actually, we need to think about these things as well. And it's interesting you mentioned Poppit, because I do think there are techniques that we can use, that we can learn about, and frameworks. You know, one of my favorite ones is principled negotiation, which is by Urey and Fisher. And it's such a useful, quite straightforward, you know, it's not incredibly complex as a framework. So you can carry it in your head. And I think these types of tools that you can carry in your head, when you're faced with situations, you can think, okay, are there some dimensions or viewpoints I need to think about to address this situation? So those types of frameworks, they sort of help your personal development, and also they're part of your professional toolkit in some way. So they sort of cross those two areas. And sometimes I think when we're talking about, you know, that sort of dealing with people, that engagement piece, we almost forget that actually there are frameworks and tools we can use to help us in that area.
Absolutely. It's making me think of, oh, sorry, Helen, it's making me think of growth mindset as well, in the sense that, you know, you start off over here and you think you're perhaps not very good at something, and actually, and you think, well, actually, I've never really tried it before. I've not done much of it. Maybe I'm being a bit too hard on myself. Maybe I should, you know, try just like you've been doing, Helen, you know, like you were saying earlier, just try few new things and just see what happens, you know, rather than just ruling out, you know, just, oh, I'm going to be like this forever, you know, just having that sort of resilience, I suppose, to sort of move on and try different things.
And I think that's the point as well, isn't it? It's I think sometimes we don't give ourselves the opportunity to experience these situations and to stretch ourselves till they kind of, it's sort of a passive approach that, well, I need to be in the situation of conflict to have experience of how to deal with conflict. But there are a lot of people out there. So I'm reading a book at the moment by a lady called Eve Poole, who talks about leadersmithing. And it's about proactively finding the opportunities to practice some of those behaviours. And I'm not saying like you go out and start a fight with somebody or something like that. We all come across aspects of, you know, small or large, of conflict in our real everyday lives, and it's about actually just stopping and thinking about, how am I going to deal with this? What can I practice in this moment that I can take away? and treating everything as an opportunity to learn, I think. So yeah, looking for those things that you can go away and do and practice. You know, we have difficult conversations on a daily basis, whether that be, you know, trying to deal with a child throwing a tantrum, or perhaps you've got to, you know, have a difficult conversation with a friend who's, you know, asked you for some honest advice on something. Those are all things that you can use to, I think, to practice different aspects of this thing called character. So yeah, I think that's the other thing, is be proactive in it, not passive in it. Don't wait for those things to come and find you.
So it's hard though, isn't it, to, you know, to force yourself out of your comfort zone. But I suppose if you're not that kind of person, naturally, you know, by personality, it's, yeah, like I say, looking for those opportunities. Yeah, it's a great example. And how about yourself, Debbie? Have you got anything to add on that?
Well, it's really interesting you mentioned growth mindset, because when Helen was talking about, you know, character crafting and these types of areas, that's exactly what came to my mind. Because, you know, we all get in situations where we really do just want to run in the opposite direction. And I can think of a few. And you almost have to steel yourself. And I think if you understand the growth mindset, fixed mindset, you know, two areas, you can actually analyze yourself and say, am I now sitting in this fixed mindset where I'm just, you know, well, this is me. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. You know, therefore I won't do it. If you understand what that is as a mindset, and you understand what a growth mindset can give you, and it comes back to something that you said, Helen, about leaving yourself open to learning and learning about yourself and almost developing your ability through accepting that you need to learn. That's really where the growth mindset sits. And it really makes me think about that, because, you know, we do get in situations, we all do, where we go into fixed mindset, and sometimes that's fine. But sometimes it's an opportunity to say, you know, if I try this, okay, it may not be 100% successful. I may just have to do the best I can, but I'm going to gain something out of this because I'm going to learn. And even if what I learn is that doesn't work, you know, I've learned that. So,
really,
so that's what it means. Well, no, I need to try again. Because I'm doing growth mindset here. Okay.
Yeah, there might be one or two things that are always on the fixed list, Debbie, you don't know. But yeah, you should at least have a go, yeah.
This is true. But it is interesting, isn't it? Because I love learning, as I think you know. And I really like, you know, trying things out and learning new skills. And again, like you were saying, Helen, reading books where people are putting forward ideas. And it all contributes, and it all helps ultimately make you a better professional, and possibly improves you as a person. What do you think, Helen?
No, I said something on another conversation I was having recently, and it was related to another book I'd read, and it was "Who You Are Is How You Lead." And I think, you know, who we are as individuals very much comes through in our other interactions with people. And that's why, to me, it's massively important that I work on myself, because if that's going to be what bleeds out into the world and kind of, like, you know, has an impact on others, and it has an impact on, you know, the projects I'm involved in, that, you know, the organisations I'm part of, then I think I want that to be a positive experience, and I certainly wouldn't want it to be something that's negative. So yeah, I think that's just made me even more determined to kind of work on myself and have those sort of factors that I feel proud of. And I think then that will just naturally kind of flow out into the environments that I'm part of.
Yeah, that's another great book recommendation, actually. I'm gonna look into that one. But yeah, it's who you are is how you lead. Yeah, that sounds really good. Really good. So, Helen, have you got any final thoughts on this topic? You know, it's one of those things we could really talk about for a long time in relation to business analysis. But have you got anything you'd want to leave the audience with in terms of a takeaway?
Absolutely. So what I think, I mentioned it sort of earlier on, I think actually taking some time to do a bit of a stock take, you know, do a bit of an inventory and think about, you know, what your strengths are. As I say, there are frameworks out there like the VIA character framework, where you've got sort of a set of traits you can look at. And think about those ones that you feel comfortable with, and those that you think are probably on the outer kind of periphery, the things that are sort of starting to really step outside of your comfort zone. And then I think about the types of activities and tasks that you could do that might help you focus on those and address those and effectively practice them. They don't have to be big things. These can be small things. So you don't have to set yourself like some huge tasks, but just think about how you can diary those things into your day or your week or your month. And I think then you will start to see a difference over time.
Brilliant. Oh, that's great advice. Thanks, Helen. How about yourself, Debbie? Have you got anything final, any final thoughts to think about?
It's quite difficult to add to what Helen said, actually.
Very comprehensive.
I think for me, one of the things that I sometimes think about in this area and other areas is that words are sometimes treated as slogans. So we talk about things like stakeholder engagement, we talk about resilience, and we don't always dig underneath that and say, actually, what does that mean? You know, we talk about organizational values, personal values. What does it actually mean? And how is it demonstrated in behavior? And I think sometimes we miss the link to demonstration in behavior. So my final thought is this, that if we do identify areas where we think, actually, yeah, that is something that I really need to take on board, think about how you demonstrate it in behavior.
That's great. I think actions speak louder than words, don't they? You want to,
exactly.
You want to see people living the values rather than just, sort of saying them. But no, that's great.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on, Helen. Thank you as well, Debbie. Thanks to our viewers and listeners. If anyone has any ideas for any future podcasts, please do let us know at babrew@thisiskd.com. And please do like, share, and subscribe. Thank you.